From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Being the leader of a large nonprofit organization is a difficult job with the dual challenges of fundraising and service delivery constantly creating stress and anxiety. Now imagine all that, but doubled or tripled because the nonprofit you lead is hated by a segment of the community. Welcome to the job of leading a local Planned Parenthood operation. Today on the show, you'll hear from the new CEO at Planned Parenthood Southwestern Oregon. While abortion services are only part of what Planned Parenthood does for the community, such services often play an outsized role in perceptions, correct or incorrect, about it. You'll learn what it takes to lead this organization and what it takes to create a team that can provide a host of healthcare services, sometimes under very trying circumstances. Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon has been providing a host of healthcare services to the people in the local community for more than 50 years. Lately, however, those services, especially abortion services, have been extended to individuals who live in every state of the union. The reason, of course, is the varying state laws after the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision. In many ways, Oregon Planned Parenthood offices have sometimes become the only choice for people living as close as neighboring Idaho to as far away as the eastern United States for abortion services. Right now, you'll hear from the new president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon about how she plans to run the organization and provide as many reproductive health care services to as many people as possible. And she'll be trying to do this during an historic shortage in skilled healthcare workers. Amy Handler, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood for Southwestern Oregon, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Boy, you know, let's start with this. Can you kind of talk about the differences, the geographic differences of Planned Parenthood between, say, your organization, Southwest Oregon, and like Planned Parenthood of Columbia Willamette?
Yeah. So there are 48 Planned Parenthoods across the country.
Okay.
And some are statewide, some are multi-state, some are just a couple of counties.
Interesting.
So they really vary. And it's because we were all started by activists in the 50s and 60s. And so we're a product of, you know, different mergers of local community groups that were trying to promote family planning. And we're no different. So we're a product of a merger, which was Lane County Planned Parenthood and the Rogue Valley Planned Parenthood in the 60s.
Okay.
And Columbia Willamette, I believe, is similar. I don't know the two original affiliates that produced Columbia Willamette, but I like to say we're the lower left-hand quadrant of Oregon. So we represent eight counties in southwestern Oregon, which is Lynn, Lane, Benton, Coos, Curry, Douglas, and Jackson and Josephine counties.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, and I always think, you know, Lane County is kind of a microcosm of Oregon itself, which is it can be very urban, you know, the corridor of Eugene, Springfield, but then also very rural. And I imagine that creates really great opportunities, but then some challenges as well, right?
Totally, totally. Yeah, we have four health centers in southwestern Oregon, so two in Eugene, and then one in Grants Pass and one in Medford.
Okay.
And I would say Grants Pass is our most rural health center, and it also serves the most rural population. So we see a lot of folks from the coast in Grants Pass, and then also here in Lane County. In Eugene, we see a lot of folks from the coast and more rural communities.
Sure. You've been there for a while before you ascended to the role. What was it about, you know, the place, the team, the patients that led you to say, I want to be the boss and help lead the organization?
Yeah, so interesting. So I actually spent about a decade in North Carolina before moving here, working in public health and sexual and reproductive health. And I remember when I was flying out to interview in 2019, I had this thought, am I going to be bored? Am I going to be bored? You know, I'm coming from the deep south. I was working in Mississippi and Louisiana. And I started looking into, you know, what was happening here in Oregon. And we have some of the highest STI rates in the country. And that was a bit of an aha for me. And I was like, no, I won't be bored. And there's plenty of work to do.
Sure.
So both, I would say that there's a big public health need here in Oregon. And then also, I mean, just the community is incredible. The mountains, the ocean. My partner and I are big cyclists. So there was a lot that drew me, you know, personally to the area as well.
Yeah. You became CEO on the same day as Dr. Sarah Kennedy did for the Columbia Willamette. I'd like to just talk about, you know, kind of, is there collaboration between the different organizations, best practices? You know, is there, can you share resources sometimes if necessary? Talk about that.
Definitely, definitely. So Sarah and I have become really strong partners. Mm-hmm. So she's an OB-GYN, and we both have a background in public health, which is incredible. And so we have really similar visions for the work that needs to be done here in Oregon, the growth that needs to happen, the ways in which we need to contribute to the overall public health infrastructure in Oregon. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's lots of ways that we can share resources. So we actually share an advocacy arm already. That's a statewide advocacy arm. And then we, you know, we do a lot partnering in communications, and sometimes we do joint fundraisers. I think there's lots of ways that we can continue to share. We definitely learn a lot from each other. So if something's working in Southwestern Oregon, we always share it with PPCW and vice versa.
Got it. Share your vision. Now that you're the CEO, talk about your vision. I don't know if you have a 100-day plan or what, but kind of what's your kind of looking out? What do you want to accomplish?
Yeah. So we are actually kicking off, we'll kick off a 5-year strategic plan next summer. So we're in the middle of strategic planning right now. I can tell that, you know, with the pandemic, all of healthcare really went through what I think of as the great shakeup. You know, frontline healthcare workers were really impacted by going to health centers every single day, serving patients. And I think we learned a lot about resiliency and how to support our team. So my vision is really to continue supporting our team, build a resilient, strong team that can really be the healthcare of the future for Southwestern Oregon, and then go into a growth mode. So I think we've been in recovery the last couple of years from the pandemic, and I can see a path in the next year or two where we start to go into growth mode.
Yeah. Well, and your experience in public health, I mean, obviously public health took center stage in 2020.
Definitely.
I think more so than any of us even imagined.
Totally.
What were some of those learnings as a public health leader that you can bring to Planned Parenthood, which is still in many ways part of public health?
Definitely. So, I mean, a couple of things. One, I mean, I started 2 weeks before the pandemic.
Oh, boy.
I think it was, my fifth or sixth day that I walked into the office, and I was walking in with another executive, and I turned to her and I said, I think we need to talk about this COVID thing. And so, you know, we created a COVID. We didn't know that day it was going to become the COVID task force, and that we'd be responding both internally and externally, and participating, you know, in Lane County and Jackson and Josephine's COVID workforces or response task forces. And definitely the public health brain, like I was tracking it already, but I think there was so much with COVID, you know, mask wearing, prevention, thinking about the ways in which we can try and get ahead of a disease is so similar to all of the work that we do with gonorrhea or chlamydia or syphilis, just trying to help people understand how to protect themselves, whether it's a mask or a condom. They're very similar in terms of the education and the language that we're using.
Sure.
And consent, I think, was really a big thing that came up in COVID that I see a lot in sexual and reproductive health. So, you know, consent in terms of, can I hug you? Can I get close to you? You know, there was so much, I think, in the vaccine, that liminal space of vaccines where some people were vaccinated, other people weren't fully vaccinated, and we were all figuring out how to come back together, that is really similar to a lot of our sex ed work.
Yeah, yeah. We reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Amy Handler. She's the new CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon. One of my favorite parts of this job is I get to talk to a lot of nonprofit leaders, and I often it's a challenging endeavor. Running a nonprofit is what, in my opinion, one of the harder things to do. Boy, I got to tell you, running Planned Parenthood, I would imagine, is even more difficult because there is political opposition to part of what you do, and I'll get to that part in a little bit. You know, but how do you see it? What are some of the biggest challenges that you face, and how do you think you can help your team overcome those?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, really, our biggest challenge is staffing. Mm-hmm. Healthcare has really changed in the pandemic, and I think a lot of folks left healthcare or saw that it maybe was a harder career and that might not be something I want to enter. So we're really working to be that spark, to be that first role that folks have in healthcare, whether that's as, you know, a health center assistant or a health center receptionist, greeting patients, checking patients in, taking blood pressure. We really pride ourselves in being a training hub for mm-hmm. our community. And then, so I would say the same challenges as any healthcare provider.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that I found so incredible about being in this community and really being in Oregon is the deep, deep support for our work. So folks aren't afraid to say the word abortion. They're not afraid to engage with abortion. And they're certainly eager for all of the work that we want to do to instill abortion, you know, in the state constitution and keep Oregon the most protective state in the country for abortion. We see it here in Oregon, and then nationally, it's 80% of Americans. It doesn't matter whether what your religious status is, what your economic status is. Folks support abortion access in the United States, so it's really, I can see a path where we are going to win state by state over the next 10 to 15 years.
There are neighboring states where it is a lot harder, if not almost impossible, to get an abortion. And I wanted to ask you kind of, you know, I guess the question is this, you know, since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, it's become a huge issue. And we're talking in the shadow of a presidential election, of which that will become a big issue. But I mean, you know, in doing your job and your team, you know, has it changed at all because the political landscape has changed a little bit?
Definitely. Over the last couple of years, our work has changed tremendously. So I would say, sadly, we've actually been preparing for this for a long time. So in 2021, when Texas's Senate Bill 8 passed, that was the aiding and abetting bill that effectively made abortion illegal at 6 weeks in Texas. It only took 10 days for us to see our first patient from Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was mid-September. A family drove up from Texas. They had 3 kids in the back seat, and they were just like, you're the next available appointment. So,
wow.
Yeah, really incredible. And I think for us, that was a bit of a light bulb of how if Roe was overturned, it could be very fast and we could start seeing patients from all over the country very quickly. So so we knew that Roe was likely going to be overturned just given the makeup of the Supreme Court at that point. And we started really looking at the map and thinking about how both Medford and Eugene are regional hubs. They've got regional airports, and that folks could be coming to us. So we started to prepare to expand gestational age in Medford because we knew folks would be experiencing delays to care. They would, you know, find out they were pregnant and either not want to be, or maybe it's not a viable pregnancy, but they were already too far along to get an abortion in their state. And then they would have to navigate and figure out, well, where do I go? How do I get there? Do I need childcare? How do I pay for transportation? All of the things that go into getting out of state for a very basic healthcare procedure. So we did a multi-million dollar expansion in Medford to build more procedure rooms. And it has panned out that way. So when the leak decision happened in May of 22, we were just weeks out from opening Medford up. And then when the decision happened in 22, we were ready for patients. And over 6 weeks, so just over the summer of 22, from like July 1st to mid-August, we saw patients from every single state with an abortion ban. So Mississippi, Florida, South Carolina, I mean, people were both panicking, but also just going to the next available appointments. And so we had built our health centers to see more volume and ensure that we could still see Oregonians for all the critical care that we provide beyond abortion.
There's a segment of the population, whether it's here in Oregon or nationally, that sort of views Planned Parenthood only through the lens of abortion services. But I want you to give you the opportunity to kind of maybe do a little myth busting about what Planned Parenthood does, because obviously that's one aspect of it, but there's so much more, isn't there?
Yeah. So before the Dobbs decision in 22, abortion was between 3-5% of our overall services. Now it's between 8-12, just depending on the month. And so I like to say we provide everything from A to V, which is abortion to vasectomies and everything in between. So, you know, that means breast and cervical cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, you know, family planning, so birth control, and the full range of birth control options. Vasectomies, we're the number one vasectomy provider in Southwestern Oregon. And that's always a surprise to folks.
I bet.
We do like a March Madness campaign so folks can come in, get a vasectomy, you know, just chill on the couch for a couple days.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's interesting too, because, you know, I'm wondering, those people that come from other states, because that, like you said, the first appointment available, you know, what are some of the things that they talk about with the providers, with yourself? You know, it must be a relief, obviously, but it must also be, there must be a level of frustration thinking that, boy, I've got to buy a plane ticket, or, you know, I've got to do a 2-day journey in a car to go get this.
Definitely. I would definitely say there's a level of frustration. There's a deep level of relief. You know, people are just happy to get the procedure that they need, the abortion care that they need. We've all Planned Parenthoods across the country, all 48 of us have hired abortion patient navigators. So we have a staff member who's fully dedicated to helping people get access to the care they need, whether that's, so figuring out, is it a plane, train, automobile? How are you getting here? Where are you going to stay when you get here? Sometimes people come to us because they have family or friends in the community. So they're thinking, you know, it's a little easier for me. I'm going to stay with my aunt, or I'm going to stay with my cousin. But this abortion patient navigator can really help relieve some of that stress and that coordination that it takes to get out of state and get to the care that you need.
Yeah. I often get an opportunity to talk to the Lane County's Director of Public Health. And he's talked often, and we've had him on the show, about the outsized problem of STIs in Oregon. I want to give you the opportunity. I know you talked about it a little bit, but it seems like that's an issue, and he wanted to come on because he felt like that was an issue that we don't talk about enough. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about, it's a real problem, isn't it?
It's a real problem, and before the pandemic, we knew it was a problem, and Lane County was definitely on the map for the CDC as a place to really try to get ahead of syphilis in particular, and we're not alone. This happened across the country, but really with COVID hitting, all resources and attention for all public health departments and our country really shifted to focusing on COVID and solving COVID, and all the resources went to COVID. And during that global pandemic, the STI epidemic just exploded. So we provided in 2020 and 21, 20,000 STI tests to our community. We're the largest STI tester and provider of treatment in our community. And we are actively moving to continue to push STI testing and treatment just so folks know their status. It's a huge, huge problem in our community.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit. You addressed this earlier, but I want to kind of talk a little bit more, because I've talked to many people in many different organizations and industries. The staffing challenges have cut across every segment of our society, and certainly healthcare. You know, I've done shows about the nursing shortage overall. You know, do you see it getting any better from your perspective in terms of being able to staff up the way that you need to be?
I certainly don't think it's going to be tomorrow.
Okay.
But I do think our state is taking meaningful steps to try to build more training programs, more training seats. So I know OHSU is doing that. I believe Lane Community College and Rogue Community College are both also doing that. I think it's about how we communicate to folks the value of healthcare and what a meaningful career it is. So really helping people live the lives that they want to live healthy, meaningful lives. That's what we're doing every day by providing, you know, vasectomies or STI testing and treatment or breast and cervical cancer screenings and making sure people get access to the care that they want. Healthcare is, I think, I mean, I know I'm biased, but the most meaningful career that you can you can step into to really help your community and lead a meaningful life. So I think the more we can help people see that and understand that, you know, at least at Planned Parenthood, we deeply value our healthcare workers and we support folks in a variety of ways, you know, whether it's through our benefits package or, you know, PTO or other things. But yeah, I think Oregon, like more broadly, is taking meaningful steps through creating training opportunities for folks. It's going to be a couple years though.
Sure. And my guest is Amy Handler. She's the new CEO, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon. You know, Amy, my last question to you is really this, you know, kind of maybe looking out beyond those couple of years, do you have like a set of goals, you know, whether it's expansion or whatnot, that you really want to go after in your new role?
Definitely. Yes, I would love to see us expand our footprint. So ensuring that we're opening new health centers in new communities. So I think as we launch our new strategic plan, we'll be naming some of those communities and places, but definitely opening new health centers, expanding our scope of practice. So I think that there's opportunity for us to go into, you know, everything from, you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome care, endometriosis care, to helping folks with menopause care and treatment. So the full spectrum, whether it's infertility or, you know, maybe even your first visit, prenatal visit. Mm-hmm. I think there's ways in which we can grow our scope of practice as well.
Okay. Well, Amy Handler, the new president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon, really appreciate you coming in and talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. On Monday, you'll hear about an innovative program in Bend called the Civic Assembly on Youth Homelessness, where members of the public are asked for their opinions as well as efforts to address this epidemic of kids without a place to live. These general citizens were chosen at random, and leaders with the city and county and also key nonprofit organizations are hoping their general wisdom and knowledge can help solve this difficult problem. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.